I sanctify myself to you so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus prayed. 100 years more or less later, the early Christians remembered that he prayed. They had talked about it all along, and then they recorded this intercessory prayer. Jesus doing the prayers of the people, we might say. Of course, it's very extended, and the language is a bit fancified, but Jesus prayed, interceding for them and for us. He must have prayed audibly, or they wouldn't have remembered it so well and carried it on for centuries. Jesus' intercession made a huge impression on them and on me over 2,000 years later. I pray these words nightly as I'm just getting ready to fall asleep in my own words and with my children in my mind and heart. God, I consecrate myself to you for their sake, that they too may be consecrated in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine a more wondrous, let me just say, awesome feeling than knowing, feeling even inside yourself that you are being prayed for aloud and in people's hearts. I should know half my family is on your prayer list. Every morning I have prayer time and quiet time. And I pray that God will bring sweet mothering energy into the world with wisdom, encouragement, and nurture. These are three gifts that I associate with authentic mothering. Wisdom, encouragement, and nurture. Obviously, I remember it's Mother's Day. I know. I was dead set against preaching about mothers. I thought, oh, it's too sentimental. It's not fair to fathers. And possibly it might even be boring. But I caved. And I caved when I noticed that all these readings today were all about prayer. And who more than mothers know about prayer and praying. Mothers pray. Mothers also organize as they pray. Think MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Think Mothers Marches for Peace. There's a new organization called MADRE, which means mother in Spanish. It's to help women in many countries around the world organize for some economic independence. And there are many, many more. So I am thinking about mothers, but I'm thinking more broadly. And so we don't get all mixed up about gender and biology. I invite you to think about mother as anyone who has mothering energy. All of you have that. All of you know how to mother, to bring wisdom, encouragement, and nurture wherever you go. Now, in the park near where I live recently, I stood to watch for a while two little girls. Maybe they were 4 years old. They were sitting close on the ground, cross-legged, across from each other. And they were taking turns brushing the hair on some kind of stuffed critter of completely mysterious identity. Not to mention it was gray. They shared the brush, the critter, and the sheer delight they had together in their task. It was completely wondrous, I thought, and it looked to me like an embodied prayer with an action attached to it, brushing this little critter, whatever it was. It was wonderful. And now here this morning we hear Jesus praying, like a mother or a mothering person. I'm sure you all know this, and this is probably in every sermon today, that Julian of Norwich, 14th century mystic and saint in our church, articulated her vision this way. Jesus, our beloved mother, feeds us with his most precious body and blood. So we're not getting hooked on genders and biology and wombs and all those things. Not today. You all are beloved mothers, as was Jesus, bringing wisdom, encouragement, and nurture wherever you are, and acting, frankly, like those little girls in the park. So the lessons, now they're all about prayer. In Acts, they have to replace Judas, who is no longer with them, and so they're going to have an election. Now they were smart enough to know, as are we, that God does not vote, nor does God campaign, thank goodness. They also know that God was able to look into every heart and work through the Spirit in the process of any kind of election, before, during, and after, no matter what the outcome, God is there. The lesson in 1 John is, frankly, I find aggressively Christian. Actually, it's a political speech. Follow this way or else. But I want you to remember the context when that and the rest of the Johannine materials are put together. The new movement is very fragile and shaky. It's failing, and they're afraid, and everybody's sort of backsliding and deserting and this and that. They need strong rhetoric. Sometimes we pray like that. And of course, in the Gospel of John, the same kind of energy, it seems to me, pumps through Jesus' prayer. It's intense and insistent, a true intercessory prayer. It's a very motherish prayer. It has urgency in it and some fear. Maybe, as I would paraphrase it, it might sound or feel at least something like this. Please, God, I did everything you taught me. I listened to you, and I did it all the best that I could. Now, for Christ's sake, help them remember when I'm not here to remind them all the time. And then he sanctified, that is, made holy, himself, so that they and we alike would be sanctified in the word of truth. Now, I come from a long line of praying mothers. My mother prayed desperately and fearfully after miscarriages that I would be born. Her mother, before her, back in 1911, prayed mightily and almightily to have the strength to be a late-in-life mother. By late-in-life, I mean 40 years old, which back then was old. And she prayed for the safe delivery of her fourth child, which turned out to be my mother. My paternal grandmother prayed probably not to have so many kids, and she only had six, but also about her choice to marry and to be a mother. It wasn't easy. She gave up a career, a budding career in opera, to do so. But believe me, she pushed all her kids, my father was one of them, into singing. Luckily, most of them, including my dad, had pretty good voices. And as I remember her, I could almost feel her long-held frustrations as a woman. How do you balance this mother thing and this career thing? But she always bragged about having gone to college, the first one in her generation. She went to Vassar, and she was graduated in the class of, she would say, Audiot, 1900, class of Audiot. She wanted desperately for me to go to her college. I chose another college. That wasn't because God didn't hear her prayer. It was simply because I made another choice. God is always hearing prayers, is always in the process. But sometimes pressure, even if it's prayerful, has the opposite effect of what is intended. My poor Audiot grandmother. So my praying career continued and nearly got upended by the church, precisely because I was a mother. I had felt drawn to priesthood and drawn chiefly to the church's sacramental life. I thought the sacraments are so motherly. Wash, cleanse, bleed, heal, touch, feed, all about bodies and embodiment. No wonder the church is called Mother. But Mother Church told me I could not be a mother and a priest. That was too much. Now, by then, I had four children, and I needed a mother. That was back in the 1980s. But even today, motherhood threatens to upset the workplace of the church. The church cannot decide still whether they want women ordained before children or after children or during children. I understand it's not easy. It's not easy for women either to be making all this balance between the different things you want to do and to serve God in the whole process in which God is active. There is today even scant provision for maternity leave or time off for childcare. There is still a very significant gender pay gap, and God knows attitudinal patriarchy still reigns. Many exceptions, of course, but in general, yes. I remember a male priest angrily said to me, "I can't imagine a pregnant woman at the altar." Well, I didn't say this, but I couldn't imagine a pregnant woman not at the altar, not at the font, not in the pulpit, banned. It's complicated, and we all know that. In the meantime, I prayed fiercely and relentlessly over 11 years that Mother Church would ordain me a priest because I wasn't going to divorce my children. I prayed without ceasing. I also got political. I went to seminary. I talked. You might say that I lobbied my case fiercely to everyone I could find, seminary professors, clergy, therapists, family and friends who mostly could not understand why I wanted to be accepted by an institution that didn't want me. but they listened and they cared. And God was in all of those prayers, the listening and also my ferocious petitioning. So God did provided me enough internal grit and grace to carry on and wait for a new bishop to be elected. Meantime, my four children at home were anxiously coping, very well coping actually, wondering what happened to Supermom? What happened to the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent mom? She was out professionalizing herself. I've spent quite a bit of time making amends for my midlife movement, shall we say. Nearly a half a century, reconnecting, reassuring, and praising them, because by God, they are resilient. So I have vowed in my praying career always to pray, but to be active, to promote equality for women and for all people. I vowed as well never to let anyone call me mother except my own children. I'm not too sure the parental model is so good for men either, or even for the image of God. Jesus grew up. We too grow up. I see myself as beloved of God, but not child of God. My God, there is so much very important adult work to be done in the church and beyond the church. Way too important adult work for us to be sheep or children, even metaphorically. Okay, that's my bias. You don't have to buy it. But I would like invite you to think about it. And of course, I vowed never to stop praying with and for all of our children, mine, and I added Dick's to them. By name, just like Jesus prayed. We all need prayers for ourselves, for others, creating a net of support out loud, silently, in our hearts, in every way we can, every day. So let me close by bringing you back to that image of those little girls in the park, giggling there with soulful abandon, brushing this ridiculously hairless, unidentifiable stuffed critter, sharing that critter, sharing the brush in turn. Their joy was untrammeled, and they were doing it all together. There was no fighting, tugging. Ideally, I would say they were mothering. They were using their mothering energy for this little critter, and they were a prayer in action. May I say to you, go thou and do likewise. Amen.